So, how was your Christmas?
Well, it was good. I obviously, though, have been missing you because I dreamt about you last night.
Oh, no.
My mind must have been thinking, hey, I get to talk to Sherry in the morning. And here's what you were doing. Here's the crazy. You were stitching enormous stuffed animals to sell so we could keep the podcast on.
Because everyone knows that's a big money maker. Either that or we're trendsetters. I'm not sure if that's delightful or scary or some kind of a combination of both. Oh, my word. Well, let's just real quick welcome everybody to episode number 29 of Grit and Grace. We are wrapping it up and taking a few minutes to just kind of debrief after the holiday season. This is the last of our holiday break episodes. Let's start out with the all-important question. When do your Christmas decorations come down?
Well, mine will probably come down either Saturday or Sunday this week. They'll come down after New Year, probably. How about you?
Well, I've got a neighbor who everything is gone, like at 6 a.m. on the 26th. Like, I mean, the tree has already been taken to the dump, gone. And you know, we used to be the opposite extreme. I really shouldn't confess this, but here I go. There were times when we only got rid of our live tree because Anne Marie's birthday party was coming up, and her birthday is March 25th.
I love it.
And you don't even want to know or think about what that tree looked like, what kind of a fire hazard it was, and where all of its needles were. I guarantee you they weren't on its branches. So,
well, you decorated late because you guys had been sick. So yes. I think you should enjoy it for a while.
But
go for it.
We kept things pretty minimal. We got the two trees up and a few other things. So, yeah, I'm not in a big hurry.
Well, Mike Willen, who is the nester, always talks about quieting the house after the holidays. And I love that. So I do kind of strip down. I love all the baubles and sparkle and stuff during the holiday. And then I just want it to be quiet during the new year.
So kicking elf legs on your front door, huh?
No, all the glitz and glam is going.
I love it. I had an interesting aha moment about my decorating style during Christmas. I posted a picture. I just took a picture of our Christmas Eve table, which to me was so simple and so bare.
And beautiful. No, I saw it on Facebook.
One of my friends made some comment about how classic it was or how minimalist, as if there was intention, like as if I knew what I was doing, which is like the biggest joke in the world. It just was what it was. And so I came back and I said, well, in my mind, I'm, you know, busy comparing it unfavorably to my mother's table. And I grabbed a picture that I had handy of how my mother had always done her table. And it was just so interesting that I got a couple of responses from people who were like, oh, that is so not you. And, you know, what you do is you, what she did was her. And a couple people even said that they found what my mother did too busy for their taste. And over the last few days, I've been thinking, wow, you know, and I think we must do this as reforming perfectionists, is what was once normal for us becomes the standard, like the way things must be done. Because in my mind, the way my mother did Christmas and the way she set her table was the right way.
Yes.
And it took outside help to realize, no, it was one way. It was a beautiful way. It worked for her. And when other people said they found it too busy, I suddenly realized, so did I. It's not that I disliked it. It's not that it was bad. It's just, oh, yeah, it was too busy for me. Oh, and just the sense of relief of, oh, I get to be different.
Well, I had a moment, too, that was a people pleaser moment that I had to wrestle my people pleasing to the ground. And Kim Nowlin's advice on fashion had really helped me. But I found myself at a party at my friend's house who she just kind of moves in different circles than I do, but we're very close and she's completely down to earth. But I found myself in a conversation with, like, I think a third generation debutante. Ooh. And the woman who started the debutante ball in my area.
Oh, wow.
Now, let's just say I'm not a debutante. Okay. Wasn't a debutante.
Wait.
I'm kind of the anti-debutante. Yes.
Okay. For those of us who are Californians, would you please define debutante?
Okay. Well, debutante for Southerners is the old-fashioned coming out ball for girls of a certain society in the South. So
Okay.
these women were more frou-frou than me. That's
Okay.
the, I guess that's the
Highfalutin.
bottom. Highfalutin, that's a good yes. And I found myself, even though they were lovely, totally love in every way, I was feeling very insecure, especially about what I had on because not highfalutin and falutin. And so I'm sitting there in this conversation trying to think about them and not think about myself. Like we talk, there's so many good things in our holiday break episodes that worked on me over Christmas.
Oh,
It was so
good.
good. One of them, who I would say was the more highfalutin of the two, started telling me how ravishing she thought I looked. Now listen, it was everything I could do not to say, well, I think my shirt came from Goodwill and my pants definitely came from TJ Maxx, not the boutique. And seriously, all I had on was a white shirt and black pants, and I had, but I thought about Kim's advice and I put on some sparkly red earrings and red
Ooh.
lipstick. That was it. That was it.
Hey, that you would
And
look
I
fabulous
thought,
with that.
but here I felt so small. And I was allowing myself to feel small. And in that moment, it was so sweet that she said that and so unnecessary. But it just made me realize that was only my own perception, not anybody else's. And I let my little sparkle and my red earrings to bolster my confidence. And
There you go.
it turned out to be a really good moment, a reminder that my perception is not the same as the other people standing talking to me.
Good for
So
you. It
that was
sounds like
neat.
you actually received what she said.
I did. I was surprised by it, and it did. It made me feel good. Like any woman loves to be told she looks nice.
Sounds like a
But
delightful moment.
it was a delightful moment. Yes.
Very cool. All right. Well, I have 4 R's that we can see if we want to talk through real quick here in terms of just debriefing from the holidays. The first R is reality, because we did end up taking Daniel to urgent care and I eventually went and there were tests and such. It meant that I had to shift money over to make sure we could pay for those. We have good insurance, but I also know that there's going to be a certain amount that we're going to have to pay for ourselves. Combined with the illness and the finances that the illness treatment took, we didn't take the trip away from home that I'd been planning on, that I'd been really looking forward to and that I talked about. It was what it was. Instead, we've been hanging out at home and having a good time here. The other thing that was curtailed was gifts. I had been waiting to see what the budget would allow, and the budget was very minimal. And so our gifts were the gifts of presents, that is being present with each other, not so much the boxes or bags to be opened. And fortunately, our kids are older and they prefer experiences anyways. But anyways, it was still a good Christmas and we still celebrated Christ's birth, and that's what it's all about. So how about you? Any realities?
It's always interesting to do this on a podcast because, of course, we want to honor the people that we love. But I have a very difficult relationship that I'm faced with on most holidays. And it's with someone I love, but it's not the relationship I wish it were. And that's always hard. And so it was, it's so funny. I thought we should really, from now on, do a wrap up after Christmas. It made me behave better, knowing that I was going to have to report.
Hey,
I really did
accountability
pray.
is a beautiful thing.
I really did pray before all the gatherings, like, Lord, put a guard over my mouth because it's my mouth that gets me in trouble. And so I did pray ahead of time. But I've been reflecting on Jesus and those beautiful shows that we did with Michelle and Susie. And I've been thinking a lot about how he said in Matthew 10:16, I am sending you out, he was saying to his disciples. And then there he says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. That always has sort of puzzled me a little bit, but I felt like I had a little insight over Christmas about that. That Jesus was so clear-eyed. He was so honest. He dealt with reality so well that in, I've been studying Luke with verse 5, and in Luke 15 and 16, man, those are some power-packed chapters where he is calling out the religious leaders. I mean, he is telling them, I know who you are. You are not who you are supposed to be. And then even in Luke 19, where this verse is that I want to focus on, right after he says, what I'm going to share. He clears the temple. He knew the leaders were trying to kill him. But in Luke 19, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. And I thought, even that is so clear-eyed, so based in reality, so honest, and yet also equally filled with love and grace and compassion and mercy.
Sure.
So in this difficult relationship, it really challenged me to say, okay, I don't have to hide what I feel about it. I don't have to hide what, I don't have to stick my head in the sand and pretend it's something it's not. I can look at it in complete reality. And yet, alongside of that, pray that I'll be fully filled with love and joy and peace and kindness and all those fruits of the Spirit along with it. And so I really think that is a perfect example of shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves.
Very true.
Based in reality and still with that purity of heart. And I really prayed for that and saw some fruit in that over Christmas.
Wow.
So I was,
Boy, I love that. I love that. The next R is rejoice. And we had some fun times. We watched some Christmas movies together, and our kids have gotten us started watching this BBC show called Sherlock that probably the entire rest of the world knows about, but we just started watching. But then there was one evening where the kids wanted to go out and see a action movie with Daniel, and they invited me to come along in that tone of voice, well, Mom, we're asking you because we know we want to, but we know you won't want to go because I can't sleep. I can't. Movies like that, I just cover my eyes and I watch through the it's a waste of a ticket. I don't mind watching them at home. When, you know, when I'm on the couch and I can pace the room or get up and go get something to eat. But on a big screen TV, these action things are just too much for me. But I ended up going with them, and I sat in Starbucks and wrote while they were at the theater seeing the movie. And then we all went out to California Pizza Kitchen together and had a great dinner together. And I thought, you know, that was a really nice kind of a compromise. It was still family time, and the kids got some alone time with their dad, and they can now talk about the movie, and they have their secret language that doesn't include me, and frankly, that's okay. So how about you? Any other rejoicing moments?
Well, some of my rejoicing happened in the kitchen. Shock of shock.
Oh, my word!
You know how we talked about, really, and this was kind of, I don't know why, but a new idea, transformative idea for me, turning the kitchen into more of a community place. And I tried to really embrace that. And it's funny because, you know, I realized too that the kitchen's where everybody can really get on each other's nerves pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because everybody has an agenda and how they think it should be done. And so there was a little of that too, but everybody kind of flexed and got over it fast. And we had a good time in the kitchen together.
Well, very cool.
Yeah,
there's another little delightful, unexpected surprise. Very
cool.
All right, the next one we don't have to spend much time on, but it's regret. And this one is just, it cracked me up. In fact, as I analyzed it after it happened, I'm like, oh my goodness, I am so going to tell Amy and the Grit and Grace listeners about this, because talking about an aha moment. I was working in the kitchen and Daniel and Jonathan were just kind of hanging out, and I had started the dough for the rolls. I make famous homemade rolls. Somebody said they were like cloud pillows. That's how they turn out. They're so good. And so I realized I had started the dough in the bread maker, but I hadn't checked it. Normally, I wait 5 minutes and then I check it to make sure that everything's getting well mixed. Well, it was half an hour into the mixing cycle, and I take a look, and like a half a cup of flour hasn't gotten blended in. And I'm like, oh, and we time the entire meal based on when the rolls come out, because we want to eat those fresh and hot. We are a bread-loving family. So I'm suddenly freaking out and frantic, because the one thing I do so well may well be ruined. And so I grab a spatula and I'm starting to dig around and trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And suddenly Daniel shows up and he says, do you need some help? Now, the most innocuous words in the world, right? And I will tell you, he didn't say them in any kind of a manner, or I just lost my mind. I absolutely lost my mind. I am like, no, I don't need help. I didn't ask for help. And of course, he disappeared. As I was thinking about it immediately, I'm like, well, I only did that because I was anxious. I only did that because I care so much about the roles. And I'm like, no, I do this all the time. I have this thing to prove that I don't ever need help. And the conclusion I came to is we talk about how other people are unhelpful. And I realized, no, actually the problem is that I am unhelpable. I know. Isn't that just a lovely thing to realize? I don't receive help. I mean, how hard would it have been for me to stop and say, yes, thank you. Would you fix this for me? Because that's what he wanted to do. He's a fixer. Why was I clinging to the spatula? Because I'm unhelpable. So this is one of my big things for 2017 is learning to be helpable.
That's a great insight. Well, okay, so I was like, oh, I don't know if I have regret. And then I was like, oh, yes, I do, because I woke up December 26th feeling like a slug and thinking, I did not treat treats as treats.
Oh, no.
They were my steady diet. And I think I told you that I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment next week. Oh, well, let me just say that I've rescheduled that today.
Oh, my word. You did not.
I need a little time to redeem things.
I love you. Oh, I love you. Okay, so when's it rescheduled
for? I'm stepping on that scale next week. I'm not.
Okay, is it still in January?
It's in February. Okay. But it'll give me a little time to
redeem. Okay, I will be following up. I'm going to put February 1 on my calendar and check in with you. Make sure you're healthy.
All right.
The last one is resolve. And this is where I want to make some resolutions, not New Year's resolutions, but these are some actual action steps that I want to take for the next holiday season. And for me, these are born of a little bit of regret, but it's not regret so much as, okay, things didn't work out a certain way this year, so I want to be very intentional is, I guess, the better word for next year. On Christmas and after Christmas, saw pictures of various parts of the family, and it looked like we were the only part of both sides of the family that didn't show up for both sides of the family. And, you know, both of us have aging parents and just family members that aren't going to be around forever. And so as I was thinking about, okay, what can I do starting in January to have a different outcome for 2017. And I thought, well, the first thing is I need to take better care of my health, whether that means better sleep, drinking more water. And if I get sick, going to the doctor right away and getting the medications that I need. The other thing I realized is I need to do a holiday savings plan, whether it's an envelope with cash and it's untouchable or a separate savings account. I'm much too likely to say, okay, we have enough money for the holidays unless something goes wrong. Well, then things go wrong. And so I need to find a way to make sure that I'm saving the money for travel. And then the other thing I realized is we made it through the holidays, but we survived. And I want to make 2017 a year we celebrate, not just survive. And part of that celebration is taking the time and the effort and the resources to be with various parts of the family and celebrate together. How about you? What kind of resolve do you have for the new year?
Well, one of mine is a health thing too. And I saw a friend on Facebook use hashtag fit by 50. And I was like, I need to embrace that. Although I heard a statistic that if you say it out loud, your brain thinks that you've already achieved it. So
yes.
Okay, all of you just ignore what I just said because I have to still achieve it. It has not been achieved yet. So it's a health thing. The other thing was this year, one of the things I worked on was letting go of expectations. Mm. And that was, I felt like I did well on that,
good.
That I went in without expectations. But probably I'm thinking I went a little too far. Mm. So instead of just letting go of expectations, I also did there was a little lack of planning.
Okay.
So I want to let go of expectations. Hey, I didn't get to take my walk in the woods because of the weather. And I was disappointed, but not crushed.
Oh, good. You know? Good. Okay, that's progress.
Do a little bit better with the planning. Mm-hmm. So it's not just let go of all of it. Because,
yes.
You know, I think the more activity there is, especially when there's a lot of people around, the better things are. It's when people start getting a little at loose ends and bored that the careless words start to fly and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I think you're right. Well, this has been great, and I'm just going to go through that list of four again for our listeners. Hopefully, we've modeled very imperfectly a way to kind of, I don't even want to say triage, but just to kind of reflect back on the holiday season. What were the realities? What were the things to rejoice about? What were any regrets? And then resolve for the new year. So we hope you've enjoyed episode number 29 of Grit and Grace. Amy, do you remember who we're going to be talking with next week for episode number 30, kicking off our new season?
Oh, we can't wait because we're going to focus on Overwhelmed, and we're talking to Kathy Lipp next week.
So for today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.